BlogTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV, Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Fly, my pretties, fly.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer... Sir Rocket,
my little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie.
Alone in my car, I'm in a parking lot. Darkest spot in my mind, my tongue is dry. Why do I crumble quickly, stumble swiftly? Cursing myself, I burn the furniture. A million times in my head, I'm feeling low. Got nowhere to go, but back up again.
You gotta get bruised before you get mad. You gotta fall down before you fight back. Was feeling so weak, but baby I'm strong. Little did I know, I'm a champion. I'm a champion.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second and you're on Twitch and you just, you know, happen to have your Amazon Prime connected to your Twitch account, well, that's called Twitch Prime. And ladies and gentlemen, for another week or so, you get half off all subs in September because it's September. So everybody, please go ahead, subscribe to the channel, use your Twitch Prime sub, which is free, by the way, here if you like, or you can use it elsewhere. It's up to you, but we'd really like you to use it here. I'm your host, Lindsay Wood. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sorokin.
From now until September 24th, you can use your... You get a free tier 1... or half-off tier 1 subscription for September till September 24th. But if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. Subscribe for free. You know the deal. Yeah, you can just chat with us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rick Radio Show, at Lynn's Word on the Twitter machines, right here at twitch.tv/WTR live, wildtalkradio.com, rockradioshow.com, because we got a lot... to talk about tonight.
We do. We got news. We got notes. NXT, SmackDown, Tweet of the Week, all your favorites. And, well, yeah, we are talking Clash of Champions tonight. We're going to get into that in just a second. But I had a horrible realization as I was listening to the intro tonight.
What's that?
Bray Wyatt stole The Undertaker's love of puppetry. Think about it.
He did.
Think about it really hard. Okay. You don't know what I'm talking about. If you've never seen it, in our intro, you have The Undertaker saying that he can now pursue his love of puppetry. So that is from the Scooby-Doo movie that WWE did a few years back, where they actually got The Undertaker to do voice acting work in it. And the man is obsessed with puppets in the movie, and it's amazing. And yeah, I just realized that Bray Wyatt has puppets in the Firefly Funhouse, so he lifted Taker's love of puppetry and took it for himself.
So he took his dark and demented gimmick and now took his puppets.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Taker never had a rabbit that, like, warns everybody what a psycho he is.
I like puppets.
There you go. There you go. There it is.
There it is. we're going to talk about Bray Wyatt here in a second.
Yeah.
People are aware.
He played a big part in Clash of Champions, so we're going to talk about it. Good to hear that you're all right, Anubis. Stay safe. Okay? I know it's just a tropical depression, but those things can get weird really quick. So just take care. Stay safe. Buckle down. Drink them if you got them. I don't know. That's what we do here. If on the rare occasion that we get tropical depressions or hurricanes, we all just kind of get together and get drunk. No disrespect, but that's what happens. So anyway, Clash of Champions. Awkward transition. Yay! Awkward transition.
Woo!
Sorry, we're going to talk about Clash of Champions, which was this Sunday, or this past Sunday, on the WWE Network. And overall thoughts, this was not a terrible show. I mean, it wasn't anything like spectacular, but you had some really nice standout matches on the show, and I feel like what needed to stand out did stand out.
You mean how Becky Lynch and Sasha really had one hell of a match?
And F that guy that tried to grab Sasha's butt. Like, F him so hard, that is so rude.
Okay, this has nothing to do with nothing. But it does have something to do with something. So on that, yeah, screw that guy. But there's been a picture on the internet that's been circulating. So you know how the dude went after Sasha's butt, right?
Yeah.
There's a picture when Charlotte's going to grabbing Bayley for a slam. She just gets her hand all right up in Bayley's behind.
Well, that's different.
But they freeze it at a certain point. It just sort of, anyway.
Again, that's different. That's wrestling.
That's wrestling. That's... I know. But I said it had nothing to do with nothing, but it had something to do with something. Anyway.
Yeah, I know. But yeah.
So yeah. Bayley and Sasha to me was the match of the night. Flat out match of the night.
You mean Bayley and Charlotte?
Becky and Sasha, my bad. Becky and Sasha was match of the night.
We had crowd diving. We had just them throwing around. There was a lot of angst and anger and bitterness in this one that was really nice and just kind of added to it. And, well, Sasha almost had Becky's number.
Almost.
Almost. But, well, Becky Lynch decided she'd had enough of Sasha Banks, and so she smacked the crap out of a ref. And just like that, the man retains.
And then they decided to brawl in the crowd for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, and then they decided to brawl in the crowd for about 5 minutes, which was equally as good.
Which was fun, and that was like the prelude to what came on Monday night, and the setup to the match at Hell in a Cell, that's going to be in Hell in a Cell. And I told Lindsay as we were watching it on Sunday, I was like, this is the point where it's setting it up. You're setting up the idea, whether you go false count anywhere, or so they can't brawl around the arena, put them in the cell. And that's what happened, and I think this was the perfect setup. Should Sasha have won the belt here? Part of me thinks yes, but the way they did the finish, I was okay with it. It was like, unlike the Randy Orton Kofi finish from SummerSlam, where it was like very convoluted, this one made sense. It's like Becky's had enough of being attacked with the steel chair, and she just went, all right, screw it, boom, right to the ref as she was going after Sasha. So it's like she just had enough. So it, like, that part made sense. It was logical coming out of it, unlike the unlike the Randy and Kofi match. So,
and honestly, I feel like since this is carrying forward to Hell in a Cell and it's going to be in Hell in a Cell, that it makes sense that Sasha doesn't win the title here and she wins it next month in the Cell.
We would assume she wins it next month in the Cell.
Well, I mean, she kind of, they're almost setting it up to where she has to.
Yeah, they're kind of playing that point up.
Because especially if rumors are true about what's going to happen with Becky Lynch in the draft, then, yeah, it would make sense that Sasha wins it next month as opposed to here.
So that was the one woman's match. And then you have the opposite in the Bayley-Charlotte match.
I am so proud of Bayley. I am so incredibly proud of Bayley. You want to know why? She played the game and she won.
She got her ass beat for like 3 minutes. And then she's curled up in the corner and she yanks off the turnbuckle. No one sees it. And then she grabs Charlotte, yanks her into the turnbuckle, knocks her out, and gets the pin. And then she just grabs her belt and does a dead sprint to the back.
I mean, she booked it out of there. Like, I have never seen anybody haul butt so fast in my entire life as I saw Bayley. Like, she just ran.
She had Braun Strowman speed.
I mean, she just was like, okay, I won, bye.
Bye.
Like, no celebration, nothing, just bye. And I mean, somebody pointed it out on, I think it was Twitter or Tumblr, that like that finish of the match echoed Charlotte versus Sasha, where Charlotte beat Sasha in a really similar fashion to retain her title.
Okay, plays up to it.
So it plays up to it just a little bit, a little Easter egg in there.
People were pointing out there were some similarities to Becky and Sasha's first match, one of their first matches in NXT, the first big match in NXT. In this mm-hmm. in their match as well. Some callback spots.
Where the hell has this Jacksonville team been for like three football games?
Well, two.
Uh-oh. Two. Like, where the hell were these guys?
They decided to show up, I guess.
Also, the crowd is so sad. Anyway, I'm sorry, transitioning away from football back to wrestling.
So, we crowned new Raw Tag Team Champions on the show.
We lost points for that.
We did. We did. Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler defeated Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman ran into Rollins and, well, that allowed Robert Roode to hit the glorious DDT to pick up the win and the titles. There was one point in the match, and I think it was right at the end, where Roode was waiting for Strowman to come at him and he had to pull down the rope or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but Strowman was late. So it was like they're waiting and they're waiting. Like, commentary was like ahead of the game. It was like something's about to happen and it had to happen as Roode was waiting to hit the glorious DDT. I was like, okay. It was a little, it wasn't Roode's fault. It was more Strowman. He just sort of was a little late.
Yeah, but I mean, overall, this was okay. I like the fact that they took the titles off of Rollins and Strowman. It makes complete sense that they did that. Just simply because they fought later in the night, and that's really awkward when, you know, you're a tag team champs and you're going for the title. Like, it was like, how are they going to work for that? And they figured it out by just letting Roode and Ziggler have the titles. Honestly, I'm not offended by the pairing, but I want to see what they do with it.
If they have long-term plans as champions, I'm fine with it. A couple quick things. Drew Gulak retained the Cruiserweight title on the pre-show. Also, AJ Styles retained his U.S. title against Cedric Alexander. It was pretty much domination by AJ mm-hmm. in his matchup. When it came to the Cruiserweight match, Cruiserweights are cool. Cruiserweights don't have just spots. That match was sloppy. Oh man, it was sloppy. Drew was able to retain, but you can tell Lindsay and Humberto haven't been in this position to have a spotlighted match on a pre-show since this was their first title shot. So it was like they were trying to do too much, and I think it hurt the match, if that makes sense.
Well, Humberto, I think, is fairly new still, right?
New to the company, yeah. But not to wrestling. But this stage, this kind of platform, it's a weird situation. They were trying to go out there and impress, and
it didn't work.
It didn't work. It was very sloppy. And you usually on the pre-show, the Cruiserweight matches are one of the better things on the show.
Mm-hmm.
This one wasn't. It sucks, but sometimes they have a bad night. We also crowned new SmackDown Tag Team Champions.
We did.
In the Revival.
So they went hard all day and all night, and while the Revival pick up the titles off of New Day.
They took advantage of Xavier Woods being injured coming into this match. They tore up the tights.
Injured. Injured. He's still recovering from Dragon Con.
And then they ripped the Dragon Con floor tights.
Which was rude. Which was very rude. Disrespectful to the cult of the floor.
But they were fixed up on SmackDown, so they were okay. But, yeah. I enjoyed this match. It was very solid. Very enjoyable.
It was a fun match. I really liked it. I mean, I don't have much to say about it, obviously, but it was fun.
It was fine. It was enjoyable. It was solid tag team wrestling. Then you had Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross retain their tag team titles over Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. This was fine.
Alexa looked cute. She looked so cute. She brought back the pigtails.
She brought back the Harley pigtails, which got everyone excited.
Well, but, I mean, yeah, she looks on point with them.
But we need to talk about Nikki.
How she's adorable.
How she's adorable and her dancing.
Oh my god. That crazy little Scottish fruitcake. I love her so much.
Her dance game was on point. Mocking Mandy out. That was, yeah, it was great. I enjoyed that.
It was good. It was a nice, it had nice chemistry. Oh, that sucks.
So close on the touchdown catch.
And you know, he was down by contact.
Not even going to go there. Not even. Anyway, moving on.
Go Falcons! Anyway, because the Falcons beat the Eagle on Monday.
On Sunday.
Sunday. Just pointing that out. The Falcons beat the Eagles on Sunday. Just to throw that out there in case anybody's interested. And I think the Braves beat the Phillies today too, didn't they?
So, Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross retained the tag team titles. Shinsuke retained the Intercontinental title over The Miz. Sammy was being Sammy and complaining and all that stuff, and it was enjoyable. I liked the match. Zayn's mic got thrown up the stage, so he had to stop talking. Nakamura kept his championship. So.
I really like the Shinsuke-Sammy pairing.
Mm-hmm.
I really think it's good because it gives Sammy a platform and it gives Shinsuke someone to not only play off of, but also to be his mouthpiece a little bit. Not that Shinsuke can't talk,
but
it just, it makes it a little bit more impactful.
Yeah. Let's see. Kofi Kingston retained over Randy Orton.
In a really good match.
It was solid, but you could have chopped like 5 minutes off and it would have been better.
Well, yeah, but this one had a little bit more drama going into it, which helped. There's a little bit more of the story where it was now Randy's been getting the better of Kofi for weeks now. Can Kofi kind of get Randy out of his head and focus and beat him? And Kofi sure as heck did, which was wonderful.
There were a couple of spots where he went, oh, Randy's going to win, like the RKO spot. He did not get Kofi got the foot on the ropes. And Kofi at the Trouble in Paradise got the win. Randy was trying for the punt. He was going to bring back the bull punt kick. So, there you go. Enjoyable.
Yeah, it was good.
And we know why Randy lost clean, because we'll talk about that here in a few minutes.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a second.
Then Roman Reigns, Eric Rowan, no DQ. Match was fine. They brawled. They did everything you would expect them to do. They got physical.
People went through tables.
Eric
Rowan got new gear.
Yeah. So, as we were watching this match, I said to Lindsay, oh, he has new gear. It looks very bludgeon-y.
It's like, yeah, it looks good. Because if you didn't see it, it's like a... He was wearing the pants on SmackDown, but he has a little vest that goes with it. And it kind of looks like a grungy Viking / biker look. Which I was like, okay, all right, I'm digging it. He looks good in it. It's better than the green jumpsuit. You know, all right, it's working. And, you know, he and Roman are throwing each other around. They're beating each other up, going through tables, using chairs, whatnot. And then, well, yeah, out of nowhere, a Luke Harper.
A what?
With his man bun.
A what?
A Luke Harper appeared in his matching pants and gear. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you know it? Sure enough, he's there. To help his buddy, Eric Rowan, and the Bludgeons reunite as they take out Roman Reigns. And I believe Eric Rowan picks up the win.
He did.
Like, go Eric. All right. And we're going to talk more about them on SmackDown because I feel like we need to. But Luke Harper's back.
Yeah.
I'm so happy. I missed him so much. And I'm just going to say this before we get to SmackDown, because I think he did throw it Sunday night. Nobody throws that spinning armbar like Luke Harper does.
Spinning clothesline.
Spinning clothesline, whatever it is. Nobody throws that thing like Luke Harper. It just looks nasty. Like, every time he does it, it's just like, wham! You're like, ow.
Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. He takes off someone's head.
Yeah.
It's very JBL-esque with his clothesline.
But harder.
JBL had a hard clothesline from hell, but the discus clothesline sort of, yeah.
Yeah. Discus clothesline, that's what it's called. I'm trying to remember what it was called, and it's like, what is it? It's discus clothesline.
Yeah, it's a thing. So, Eric Rowan beat Roman Reigns to some surprises. And then there was the main event, Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman for the Universal Championship. Four stomps. And here's another thing that I saw coming in. I was like he would try to get him down with the stomp like once or twice. And I was like, you know what he needs to do? I told her, he needs to go for the pedigree. Because you know the pedigree always wins, right? Just hit the pedigree. So he hit the pedigree and then the stomp and got the win.
But not before Braun Strowman made a really valiant effort of taking a dive off the top rope and flying.
Yeah. Yeah, what the hell?
That should have been it.
Should have been.
That legit should have been it.
And if it was like a half a foot different, it could have been all in because he almost fell backwards.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
You saw him get up on those ropes and his legs are just shaking.
Cruiserweight, he ain't. But the boy can fly when he needs to.
Once he's up there, okay, he'll jump, he can fly. But God, getting him up there is like, oh God. It's just like his body is trembling as he's standing up on those ropes. It's like, oh God.
We're talking about Braun. Braun took a flying leap of faith off the top rope onto Seth Rollins and about crushed him. And it's like, that really should have been it, but it wasn't. And yeah, like Grock said, Seth hit the pedigree. He did the curb stomp, 1, 2, 3. And still, your Universal Champion, Seth Rollins. But oh, wait.
There's more.
There's more, because his victory is very short-lived.
So, as we've learned from watching NXT TakeOver, you gotta watch past the end little credit thing.
You do not turn off the show until
black.
The next show starts. So, all right, Bray Wyatt has a date with Seth Rollins at Hell in a Cell, and, well, he wasted no time in coming to claim his prize, because the Fiend appears out of nowhere, beats up Seth Rollins on the stage, and the way that we end Clash of Champions is Bray Wyatt standing tall, holding the Universal Champion's head like his lantern as the Seth's prone body lays on Bray's leg.
That was a nice visual.
I'm just going to say this, and if this happens, I will scream. The best intimidation tactic that they could do for Bray Wyatt is for really big matches like this, is he stretches his opponent's face over the lantern.
That would be interesting if you could actually get away with it. You know what I mean? Is that like crossing too much of a line?
I don't think so.
Because some could take it as that's a little too far over their line. You know what I mean?
Some could.
I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying in 2019.
I'm not saying you do it every time, but for big matches like this, absolutely do it. And the reason why is the Fiend is already intimidating enough, but you just add an extra little aspect to it because you're not supposed to like him. You're not supposed to, you know, feel comfortable around him. It's supposed to make you feel uncomfortable. It's supposed to make you go, oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's the desired reaction that they want. Ultimately, they want you to cheer him and they want you to buy the merch, but it's like the actual physical reaction of it is like, I'm not so sure this is okay. I mean, very clearly based on the entire presentation, the dude is a monster. He's the monster side to Bray Wyatt's Mr. Rogers. So that's what I'm saying. It's like just for intimidation alone, because just the visual of Bray Wyatt standing there holding Seth Rollins' head like that made me think of it. It's like, God, that would be like creepy as crap if he walked out with the lantern stretched over or Rollins' face stretched over the lantern.
I don't disagree. I think it's a great visual. And I hope they can pull it off.
I think they can. I mean, so far they pulled off everything else with the Fiend, so we'll just have to see. But yeah, so Bray Wyatt has his date. And he and Seth wasted no time on Monday night, which we talked about on the Raw Post Show. But now we're going to talk about SmackDown.
In 1 second. We'll get to the SmackDown throwdown in a second. The show was really good overall. I enjoyed it. It was a good... It did not drag, which is the best part. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, pick them.
We got to talk about that.
We got to talk about how bad you did.
How bad I did. How bad did you do?
How bad I did. How bad you did. The 8-Ball went 7-4, so like that's the benchmark. 8-Ball went 7-4.
We got beat by the 8-Ball, didn't we?
No, actually, we did really, really awesome. We were 10-1.
Which one did we get wrong?
I think we both wanted Randy to win.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, that's right.
But we nailed our growing beating Roman Reigns.
Hey!
Same.
We willed it into the universe.
We did. We willed that one into the universe. So go us on that one. But now we can go to SmackDown.
All right.
Welcome, everyone, to
this week's SmackDown Throwdown.
The best in the world!
Okay, so I didn't realize SmackDown was going to be in Atlanta till Monday. So I did not go to this, but this emanated from my hometown, which I think, weren't they calling it Phillips Arena?
Were they?
Were they calling it Phillips or were they calling it State Farm? It's actually State Farm Arena, but
I think they called it State Farm.
Okay, all right. We all call it Phillips, but because that's what it's been for 15 years or however long it's been
however
here, but whatever.
So let's talk about a few things. One, Shane McMahon and was served papers.
Okay, all right. I want to talk about this because I love this. I've been waiting for somebody to do this for years, and that is they are using logic in a storyline against somebody else. So, okay. Basically, Kevin Owens was allowed to come to the show, but he had to sit in the crowd, and then he got invited to the ring because Shane McMahon got served papers by Kevin Owens, which is basically a wrongful termination or a wrongful termination lawsuit against WWE's Shane McMahon, you know, because Kevin got fired last week on the show. So Shane's like, okay, all right, you come in the ring and you have your piece because this This is laughable. And Kevin's suing Shane for $25 million. And it's like, okay, all right. So Shane's like, you don't have a case. You don't have a case, you know, yada, yada, yada. And Kevin's like, oh, really? I don't have a case, huh? And then he proceeds to list, like, every grievance that he has against Shane. You know, basically that the crux of it, I forget everything he said, but the crux of it was that last week, Kevin agreed to do Shane's bidding to get the fine lifted. And the fact that Shane tried to cheat to beat Chad Gable, and he still couldn't do it, but he beat up Kevin, and he fired Kevin. Oh, wait, no. I know what it was. It was Elias. So the whole thing is, Kevin put his hands on Elias, who was a referee at the time, mm-hmm. and got fined $100,000. Well, Elias did something similar, or Shane did something similar, and there were no consequences to it. And then when Kevin tried to do Shane's bidding to get the fine lifted, and Shane cheated to try to beat Chad Gable, Shane couldn't get it done, and he beat up Kevin, who was an official at the time.
And then fired him.
And then fired him. And no consequences have been taken against Shane McMahon. So Kevin's like, I have a case. I have a strong case. F you. And oh yeah, if you'd bothered to read the papers, not only am I going for $25 million, I'm also going for the right to look you in the face when I win and say you're fired. Mic drop.
Not sure how that part works, but it sort of works.
Well, I think the way that they're going to break it down is that, you know, they're going to forget about the $25 million part, and essentially WWE is going to settle with Kevin to fire Shane McMahon. Like, he can list whatever he wants in terms of the repayment of damages in a lawsuit. So, you know, he could say he wants Vince McMahon to do the funky chicken on YouTube for 10 hours. Like, that will make him whole again. He can put that in the lawsuit. That doesn't mean he'll get it, but he can put that in there. So it could be, I want $25 million and I want to fire Shane McMahon. And the lawyer, in quotations, who wrote this up is like, okay.
Yeah, I could. So people on the Twitters were like, see, Stone Cold would never do this. Stone Cold would never do this. Well, he's threatened it before, and with the in the early days of the Austin character, he held Vince McMahon by gunpoint at one point.
He did.
But, you know, Austin would have done it. He would have stunned him. Like, this is 2019. This happens. Austin did something similar to this.
Kevin's not Austin. Number one, he's using the stunner, but he's not Austin. And number two, this is a way to extend out the storyline, because now it's Kevin Owens has something that he's holding over Shane McMahon, and he's holding over WWE, and how long can they stretch that out before everybody gets sick of it and they need to have a resolution? Whereas with Austin, it's, you know, you did this to me, stunner, it's over and done with in a week. So this is a way to extend out the story between Shane and Kevin and keep it going. And I like that they do this, because I feel like there's a lot of these situations, especially in the firing situations, where it's like, it's straight up wrongful termination and nobody ever does anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like you're putting that in canon that, you know, hey, by the way, I'm going to sue you because you fired me wrongly.
A couple things for matches. Charlotte beat Sasha by disqualification. When Bayley broke up the figure four, after the match, Carmella came down and made the save. People were wondering, why Carmella? Well, if you know canon and story and everything like that, in real life, Bayley and Carmella, BFFs.
This is awkward because Sasha is Bayley's work wife. Carmella is Bayley's BFF / other work wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Charlotte.
Who's just in the middle.
Who is two of the three's work wives. Mm-hmm. They're all married. They're all secretly married. But yeah, you know, this is good. I like that they're using Carmella for something other than being with R-Truth.
Mm-hmm. So Heavy Machinery beat the B-Team, but I think you need to talk about Otis's gear.
Okay. All right. I love Otis. Don't get me wrong. I love Otis. Bring the straps back. That's all I'm saying. Just bring it back. Not that he's not awesome. It's not that he's not funny. Just the straps. Bring him back. I had concerns through this entire match that things were going to go flying everywhere at one point. So, yeah, just straps. He needs straps on his gear. Thank you.
So it was supposed to be Sami Zayn Nakamura versus Ali. Sami led a distraction and led Nakamura to just lay him out with the Kinshasa. So they're setting up the Ali Nakamura program that had been building then stopped and now back on track. So
Which is good.
I'm fine with that.
I was a little sad that they had dropped it, and now that they're bringing it back, it's like, okay, all right, I'm good with this.
Baron Corbin had his coronation. He was dominant. He called himself dominant. He's strong, but he's generous and fair, and he demands everyone respect. He got called out Chad Gable. Chad Gable stood well. Tired of the short jokes, took him down, drove him through the chair, hit him with the scepter, tore up the robe. So there you go. So Chad Gable stands up even though he lost the King of the Ring. Good stuff.
Can we please get Corbin a crown that fits his head? Thank you.
Okay, so there's two other segments that we need to talk about. By the way, this is Direct Live. We're here on Wild Talk Radio Network, RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, Twitch.tv/W2Live. I'll give you the option. Do you want to talk about the big match announcement or more with Eric Rowan?
Let's talk about the big match announcement first.
Okay, so New Day defeated the Revival and Randy Orton. Good opening six-man tag match. Good stuff. Then this Kofi Kingston is celebrating. The tone of the everyone dreads. The theme of Brock Lesnar hits. Brock Lesnar comes down to the ring with his advocate Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman makes it clear that Brock Lesnar wants to challenge Kofi Kingston for the WWE Championship on Friday night, October the 4th, live on Fox. Kofi Kingston accepted the challenge and then got F5'd for his troubles. So it's Brock Kofi title on Fox. 15 years it's been since Brock Lesnar has competed on television. 15 years.
It's like something big is happening next week. Like they're doing
two weeks.
2 weeks that, you know, there's like a big debut or
something. It's on
something.
It's network television. Yeah. So
they're pulling out the big guns for Fox, and that, you know, Brock Lesnar is competing on TV. That's a big deal. And he's competing against Kofi Kingston. And I'm just going to say this right now to everybody within the sound of my voice. If Brock Lesnar wins, let's all be gracious about this. Let's not get bitchy. That's all I'm going to say.
So we've been saying for months on this show, at least I have, that Brock should be the WWE champion on Fox. I thought it would be the Money in the Bank cash in on Fox, but they blew that a few months ago. But here they are giving that scenario. Brock Lesnar challenging for a championship on Fox. The last time these two met was in Japan. Remember Beast from the East?
Yep, sure do.
3 minutes. Squash match. Brock destroyed Kofi. So, we'll see if this result is any different. I doubt it. I believe Brock Lesnar will be your next WWE champion, which he should be. The legitimate athlete should be the champion on the sports network, Fox.
You're going
to
have maximum eyeballs on this. You need to make sure that you have a big moment on this show. Otherwise, it's just like meh. Like, especially with the declining ratings and all the problems that WWE's been having as of late, they need to get started right out of the gate and do something super impressive. And so they are rolling out Brock and getting Brock to wrestle on TV to ensure that they have that big moment on the show.
It's not even that. It's now... So, say on Sunday during football, you can now promote. Hey, everyone remembers Brock Lesnar, right? He's challenging for the WWE Championship when SmackDown debuts on Fox. Because
mm-hmm.
Brock Lesnar, love him or hate him, he's a big name. He's a big deal. He's a mainstream name. Kofi's popular. He's not mainstream name. Brock Lesnar challenging for the WWE Championship on the Fox debut. That's marketable. That's promotion. That you can drive home. Just saying. So there's that. And then there's the Eric Rowan, Daniel Bryan stuff to end the show. So Daniel Bryan came out. He said, basically, he said Rowan says people didn't see him, but that's a lie. He said he saw Eric Rowan. He saw his intelligence, his talent. He said when they were the tag titles, he treated him as an equal. He said he thought of Rowan as a friend because he's still a friend. Rowan came out and said Bryan didn't feel equal. He didn't feel equal when he never let him talk. He didn't feel equal when he was always standing in the background. He then told Bryan he would no longer allow himself to be disrespected. Bryan was getting mad at this point and told Rowan that if he felt disrespected, he should come do something about it. He said nothing he could do to him physically would amount to breaking of their friendship and betrayal. And at this point, Harper of Luke fame attacks Daniel Bryan from behind. Roman Reigns makes the save, but in the end, two former Bludgeon brothers leave Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan laying after putting Daniel Bryan through a table. Thoughts? Opinions? Go.
I like that they remembered Eric Rowan has a brain.
If I only had the brain.
Like, I feel like, you know, he's exactly right that he gets pushed in the background. He's always the lackey and he's never the leader. And now you're flipping the roles. And because between the two of them, Harper was always kind of the leader and Eric sort of followed. And now you have Luke Harper sort of blindly following Eric Rowan and doing what Eric Rowan wants to do. And you're giving Eric that chance to lead. And I really like that. I love the promo that he cut on Daniel. I love how they beat up Daniel. Can we just talk about how Eric Rowan and Luke Harper flung Tom Phillips in his chair halfway across the ringside area into a wall? Because that happened. And then Tom Phillips was just like laying there dead on the side.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they didn't even let him get out of the chair. They just threw him and his chair.
Yeah.
At one,
I mean, that's what you
in
do.
The mayhem.
That's what you do.
But I like what they're doing with Eric. I like that they're making him a legitimate threat. And it's nice. Like, it's unexpected. And because I feel like it's like we need that big man, bad guy to be out there. And Eric Rowan's it. And he's got Luke Harper by his side to help him.
He does, which is all you really can ask for at this point.
It is.
So I enjoyed SmackDown.
And somebody pointed out something really interesting, that Brian sort of knelt down in front of Eric the same way he did Bray.
He didn't kneel down, but he opened his arms like it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. Could we get a Rowan family?
Or something similar to a family, maybe? Possibly.
I don't know. And also the best part of this whole thing is Eric Rowan did an interview and they asked him about Bray Wyatt. And he's like, who's Bray Wyatt? I don't know who Bray Wyatt is.
I know who Luke Harper is.
Yeah, I know who Luke Harper is. He was my bludgeon brother. I haven't seen him in a while, but you know, yeah, he's my brother. But Bray Wyatt, the Fiend, what? Who? Yeah. I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, it was like, I was in Minnesota, and Luke was in Minnesota, but I didn't see him.
Like, the best part of that whole thing is like, the fact that Eric Rowan was either too out of his mind to notice, or Bray had him so, like, drugged up that he had no idea where he was, and he was just blindly following Bray around everywhere, made it so much better. Oh, hey, look, Tennessee finally scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter. How about that? Score is 17-6 Jaguars, by the way. About to be 17-7.
I believe that was Derrick Henry?
I think so.
That's good for you.
He hasn't done anything this game.
But touchdown helps.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I said we go to break.
I said we go to break, too. So when we come back, we're going to be doing the news. We'll be talking NXT, and we've got Tweet of the Week. So you'll listen to The Rack right here on walltalkradio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Bang! Event.
CB Radio. Saturday night. Midnight is Houston. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. And I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last.
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, y'all, you want to get social with the Rack? Follow us on Instagram. Instagram.com/RackRadioShow.
Did you know you can use support a creator code? Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop. That's R-O-C. K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop.
WWE superstar Natalya, and you're listening to the Rack Radio Show.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime sub available, well, feel free to use it here. Or if you'd like to use it elsewhere, that's fine too, but we really like it to use it here. Also, you have until next week, I think, to use or get a half-off sub for the month of September. It is September, so also, you know, that's something to think about too, and just in case you want to sub to the channel. But if not, that's all right too. So, like we said, we're flipping the script. We did Clash of Champions in the previous segment and SmackDown, and now we're going to do the news brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And not brought to you by, but should be brought to you by, please sponsor us, Fox. Because that's all this news is nothing but Fox.
Well, yeah, half of it, yeah.
A good portion of it is Fox. So, really the biggest news to kind of come out of this past week is that the WWE draft is going to be happening on October 11th, right after Hell in a Cell. So they'll be officially deciding who gets to go to Raw and who gets to go to SmackDown on the 11th. And they're going to be hard setting the rosters because the wildcard rule will be ending on the 11th.
It will be. So this was broken on during NFL on Fox.
Yeah, which I don't think WWE wanted.
No, I think they did. I think they wanted it to happen because like they then put it out on Twitter. It's like, but it was like during, I think it was the Seattle game, I guess, on the, they blurted it out or something. During the promo read, it's like, oh yeah, the WWE draft, breaking news, the WWE draft is happening.
Yeah, it was very kind of unceremoniously let out, so there you go.
So there's our first Fox story of the night.
I'm just going to go through them all at once because it just makes sense to go through them. So, all right, Fox is going to air SmackDown's Greatest Hits on September 27th. It's going to be hosted by Charlotte and The Miz. That will be at 8 p.m. Eastern time. So set your clocks to that. Eastern and Pacific, I'm sorry. And then, well, if you missed that, you can catch WWE WrestleMania Legendary Moments on September 29th on Fox. That will be hosted by John Cena.
Before you continue, check your local listings for time and availability because they'll be during one of the NFL breaks. The games between, it'll be on, if you get one of the early game and you don't get the late game, it'll be on. And then on West Coast, it'll probably be before everything. So check your local listings for coverage.
Ding! And then they're going to be doing, Fox is going to be doing a kickoff show for SmackDown on October 4th. That'll be at 7:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. So make sure to check that out. And then there's a rumor going around that, according to the Big Lead, WWE Backstage to debut on FS1 November 5th. And the show will be hosted by Renee Young, and reported co-hosts include, but not limited to, Booker T, Edge, and Christian. And I'm sure others as well. But
yeah, so
that's exciting news.
Very exciting news. They've been out in Los Angeles. They've been testing people to work with Renee Young. Kathy Kelly will be involved in the show in some fashion as well. She'll be splitting time between NXT and the Fox show, which is why when last week we did all those hires and stuff, this is sort of why, allowing Kathy to do more, and they can do other things for the WWE family. Yeah, going back to the kickoff show, it'll be on Fox, 7:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, before SmackDown. It'll be the blue carpet special. They'll be walking the blue carpet because it's SmackDown, which is blue. So there you go.
There you go. So going back to John Cena, he was officially announced as a part of the next Suicide Squad film, which is exciting news for him. That's a huge, huge thing to get into. So congratulations to him. And then Paramount announced on Thursday that it's teaming up with WWE Studios to develop the animated comedy film Rumble, which will star Will Arnett, Terry Crews, and Geraldine Viswanathan.
I'm so
sorry if I butchered your name. Alongside WWE wrestlers Becky Lynch and Roman Reigns. So that should be exciting.
That sounds cool.
And then following that up, WWE will be airing Starrcade from Duluth, Georgia, of all places. I may actually have to go. It's going to be a one-hour live special on December 1st on the WWE Network. So yeah, go get your tickets because it's going to be here in Georgia, y'all. And it's not downtown. Praise the baby Jesus. It's not downtown.
There you go.
And now we have a special edition of the Blame Brents, the NFL quarterback edition.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulder snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
It was too good not to cover the news.
Brent, it is the third week of football. He did all this in the second week. Like, you could have at least waited until halfway through to take this many out. Jesus, dude. So, all right, just gonna read through them. Sam Darnold's got mono.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Sam's backup, Trevor Siemian. Oh, God, he got teased.
Simeon.
He got teased like hell in school. You know he did. Anyway, poor Trevor, he's out with an ankle injury, and he is out for the season.
Hashtag blame Brent.
The one that everybody's crying about, at least in New Orleans, Drew Brees, has a torn thumb ligament. He will be out 6 to 8 weeks.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Pittsburgh is also crying because Ben Roethlisberger has a torn UCL. He is out for the season.
Hashtag blame Brent.
That's in the elbow, by the way.
Yeah, that's in the elbow. Cam Newton is out with a foot injury.
Hashtag blame Brent.
And Tom Brady is out with a calf. I don't even know what I'm going to do for my fantasy team.
Hashtag blame Brent.
I have Roethlisberger and Brady. What am I supposed to do with that crap?
Brady's still playing, but he appeared on the injury report with a calf injury. So there's that. Cam Newton may play, but he has a foot injury. So things to, if you have them on your fantasy team, yep. She also had Andrew Luck at one point, and well, yeah.
Andrew Luck retires, so then it's like I don't know who to pick up, and that's how I got Tom Brady. Was Andrew Luck retired, so I was like, oh, okay, well, let me look out on our fantasy league. And for whatever reason, Tom Brady was a free agent in, I think, the WTR league.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, all right, I'll pick up Tom Brady because why not? It's the Patriots. You can always rely on Brady and the Patriots. So he's been doing good for me. I hope he plays on Sunday.
So the blame Brents on the quarterbacks was too good not to.
I mean, my God, dude. And then on top of that, he got Xavier Woods on the Bears.
There you go.
Not the wrestler.
Not the wrestler. Anyway. NXT?
Well, we should do Tweet of the Week first.
Oh, yeah, Tweet of the Week. Yeah, Tweet of the Week.
To be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alrighty. So here we go. My tweets. And yeah, we're just gonna start. Bray Wyatt, don't mess with the Zohan, is underrated. Pass it on. Hashtag sticky. Noam Dar replies, I'll egg your Firefly Funhouse windows if you keep robbing my patter, yeah, Adam Sandler, loving fiend, and you can pass that on. By the way, if you don't follow Noam Dar, number one, you should, and two, he tweets in a Scottish accent, like every good Scottish person. He tweets with his accent. It's beautiful. Bray Wyatt replies with a gif going, I'm sorry, have we met? And Noam goes, nah, but I've met Abigail out plenty of times, and she's a much better laugh than you.
Ooh.
Frey responds with, this isn't Abigail, you weird French bastard, and it's Noam and Alicia.
you know, Alicia fucks.
Noam goes, right, that's it. I'm DMing your spooky sister. Get that table set, because your weird French brother-in-law is coming to dinner. Yowie wowie, get the lasagna on, Abigail Hen. Bray Wyatt responds with a gif that says, it has begun. And Noam goes, here we go. Nay Chainsaw's butt. And Joe Crawford responds with, this was thoroughly entertaining. WWE tweeted out, history has been made again. The first ever mayor to win the 24/7 championship is none other than Glenn Jacobs. Hashtag Raw. Chris Vanini replies with, most wins in Nennyland Stadium this year. Georgia State, BYU, Tennessee, Kane, one tie. Kyle O'Reilly put out a tweet, received a touching letter from a 9-year-old boy named Lex from Central Illinois who sells his lucky rocks to help pay for his rescue beagle's heart condition. Hit close to home on so many levels. Please follow him and help if you can. Facebook and IG at Lex's Lucky Rocks. And it's a video of Kyle talking about it, holding his beagle, which is adorable, and loving on his dog. And he follows this up with, I'm still a heel though. And Roderick Strong goes, you're the meanest person I know. Adam Cole tweets out, it's National Video Games Day. Tonight at midnight, I finally get my hands on a game I've wanted since 2015. Borderlands. Cannot wait. Also, for those wondering, I'll be playing this Vault Hunter. And he tweets at 2K and he shows the character that he's going to be playing. Kyle O'Reilly responds with, I'm going to get this too, bro. And a headset. And a new controller. Converter. Comptroller. Power pad. And power glove. Complete with a vibrating game chair and a 24/7 case of bangs. In the name of all that is undisputed, I'll see you at midnight. Roderick Strong chimes in and goes, I'm slightly concerned about you, Kyle. Don't forget to sleep. Adam Cole backs up his buddy and goes, just another reason to love the man, the myth, the legend that is Kyle O'Reilly. Ladies and gentlemen, let's shock Pandora together, my friend. Yes, I'm Gunpla added in and tagged Xavier Woods. Why has Undisputed Era not been on Up, Up, Down, Down yet? And Woods goes, because schedules haven't allowed for it yet. He puts a little frustrated gif. And then Xavier Woods clears up the whole football issue with, it's the other Xavier Woods, y'all. Wish him a speedy recovery on his injury. And he tags the guy's Twitter. Bray Wyatt. Dear Roman Reigns and Rollins, I just wanted to let you know that I'm super sorry for all the atrocities I have committed against you guys over the years. If you ever need a third for a Shield reunion, we are totally down. Best friends? With a cross fingers emoji.
So that was back in May.
That was back in May. Bray responded to it and goes, Seth, I don't, and he tagged Rollins. He said, I don't know if you saw this yet, but the offer is still good. And he uses the gif of Seth going, let's get weird, baby. Why? Why?
Oh, it gets better.
Did Rollins respond?
No, Bray gets weirder. Anyway, continue.
Well, that's Bray. Those are the only two I got from that thread. I did not get the full thread.
No, that's it's a different thread.
Okay, all right. Renee Young, Zaddy Two Belts, and it's a picture of Dean stripping off his belt to reveal another belt underneath. Bray Wyatt replies, oh, get a room.
That's where I was going.
And Renee Young replies back with the two tongues sticking out emojis and hashtag yowie wowie.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Bray had fun on Twitter this week.
Mm-hmm. That all you got?
That's all I got.
Dr. Lupo, he puts a thought into your head with his tweets.
Uh-oh.
When you smell your own fart, it's like it's returning home back inside you. Interesting.
Okay. Deep thoughts with Dr. Lupo.
Renee Young, I like when people make video montages of me so I can watch my weight fluctuation to an upbeat pop song. Big E, sometimes in the bathroom, I lift my shirt to see if abs are coming in. And if someone walks in, I pretend to have just been playing with myself. Rather, people think I'm horny instead of vain. You know?
E. Honey.
He's trying. Carriage JD. Guys, I had a terrible nightmare last night. I was forced to sit in a chair and watch people eat pineapple pizza. I woke up sweating with an elevated heart rate. I'm doing okay now. With love, Uncle Jack. Tim the Tet Man. Pineapple and pizza is good. You're a disgrace to fat people.
Tim!
Courage. Tim. One, I'm not fat. I'm horizontally gifted. Two, I've grown 3 inches since you've last seen me. I'm now over 6 foot. Three, bring that same energy at TwitchCon, kid. I will literally headbutt you. Four, your WoW character is dumb. Five, you look like a thumb. Six, Jeeps are for losers. And seven, me is greater at you at Fortnite.
Oh, Jack, I hope you can back that up.
Courage, JD, most attractive things in the world. A fresh chicken parmesan. Tim the Tap Man shirtless with a white claw. Five, get the subs. Lettuce and tomatoes when thrown into the garbage. Me shirtless with a white claw. He's getting real deep.
He is. Get this man a girlfriend, please.
So, on Monday, there was a whole thing about the baby daddy thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So WWE tweeted about it. In English go, and yet it was me who caught heat for one night in Milwaukee? Just saying.
I mean...
Yeah, it's a thing. Courage JD, one full month back in the gym. Earlier, a woman got trapped under a car, so I walked over and lifted up the entire vehicle over my head and moved it, then saved her. This really happened. I'm so brave. Like if you believe... let's see. Courage, don't take part, take over. Tim, I'm glad you apply this to all aspects of your life. Especially food. Courage, I can't wait to rub suntan lotion on your shirtless upper body next week while we drink White Claws together at the pool. Yeah, they're all going to be together. It's going to get weird.
Video or didn't happen. Mm-hmm.
And then one more thought-provoking tweet from Dr. Lupo.
Oh, God.
If you've ever donated blood, there's a chance that you are indirectly helping power a boner right now.
I mean, it's not a lie. It's really not a lie if you think about it.
It's really not a lie.
You could be powering somebody's boner right now and not even realize it.
That's Tweet of the Week.
Alrighty, NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
Alright, so this was the debut of NXT's two-hour format on USA. There was a little hitch with this show because this week and next week, half of it will be on USA and half of it was on the network. And the USA portion of the show was wonderful. It was great. There were no problems with it. When you got to the network transition on this one, things got a little weird and people had trouble getting into the network. They had trouble accessing the feed. Some people were able to see it. I think it was something that if you got on the network and got to the feed before the official handoff between the two, you were okay, because that was me. I actually got in a little bit early, and so I was able to get to the feed and actually see the second half of the show. But Rock couldn't. Like, he couldn't get into his account because it was just, I think the network was inundated.
Too many people were trying to log in at one time. There was over 1.1 million people watching NXT on the USA Network. So here in America, and everyone decided, hey, we're going to log on to the network at 9 p.m. Eastern. Now, not only was it people here in the U.S. that were trying to log in at 9 p.m. Eastern, so I would say a third of those people who watch on the USA Network,
mm-hmm.
This was the first time the people in the U.K. could log in and watch the second hour of NXT live. So they all logged in at 9 p.m. So you're having everyone from around the world try to log in all at once. Oh, it was not a good time.
It was not a good time. But that's okay. Triple H addressed it after it happened, and he said it's really not that big of a deal, which it is, but it isn't.
No, they'll fix the problem going forward, and it's just that it's new servers, new everything, so it's like they know what they need to do.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the load testing, it was for pay-per-views. Not everybody logs in at the same time for pay-per-views.
That's why you have a one-hour pre-show.
Yeah, so it's like the servers can handle the load for that. What they weren't anticipating was everybody getting on the servers at once and them essentially shutting down the servers because of they couldn't get on or because they were trying to get on. So they haven't had to deal with that since they launched the network.
Right.
So, you know, they're like, okay, well, it went okay the first time. So I don't know if they assumed or I don't know if they were told, yeah, it's going to be fine type deal. But they'll get it fixed. And it's only for really next week. And then the show is fully on USA. It's not on the network anymore. So he's right in the sense that it's not a big issue. but it is a big issue because it could impact the show next week, and I promise you they're going to have it fixed before that show ever hits the air.
So let's talk about the show that it hit the air. One, they changed the ramp a little bit. It's now wider and lower to the ground. They changed some of the seating. They moved the announcers to the other side of the building.
Mauro Ranallo dyed his hair.
He did. They added different lighting to the setup. It's lighter. The lights are now in the ring more, so the ring is lit up more, and there's different lights throughout the building. Crowd was hot. Crowd was into the entire 2 hours, and they had it put on a hell of a show, and they went out there with the women to start.
They went out there with a chip on their shoulder, and they made a statement by starting out at a number one contendership match for Shayna Baszler's title, where you had Io Shirai taking on Candice LeRae. And I just remember Io and Candice.
Mia Yim. And Candice, Io. Why am I drawing a blank?
Shit. I'm telling you, it's like I just remember Candice LeRae and Io.
Candice, Io, Mia.
We're such good journalists,
Bianca,
right?
Bianca.
Yeah, goddamn, how could we forget Bianca? But
she was awesome in the match. It's just a train of thought. It's like, oh, right, who went for? Yeah, Bianca was really good in that one. They all were. All of them went out there, and they took some risks. They tore the house down. They set the tone for the night, and they went, boys, here, follow this.
Yeah, follow this.
And they put on a hell of a match.
And I like that they opened with the women. They made a statement with the women that if this is the first thing you see of NXT, if this is your first time ever watching it, we're going to make sure the women are at the forefront. And you see four of the top women in that particular brand right now. And when Candice LeRae came out, Mom looked like she was ready to beat somebody up, and she did. And ultimately, your number one contender for Shayna Baszler's title is Candice LeRae, which, okay, I'll take it.
Shayna and her girls confronted Candice after the match.
And Candice is like, I will take you all. Let's go. Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just right now.
She was ready. She was ready to fight. So, that was enjoyable. I enjoyed that. I really enjoyed the opener. It was really good.
And they got about 15 minutes.
About 10, 15 minutes, somewhere along there, for that one. You had, after that, we had Cameron Grimes, like, destroy Sean Maluda in 6 seconds.
It was a good showing for Cameron Grimes, even if he's not my favorite person.
Mm-hmm. So we then had the second big matchup on the USA Network portion of the show. It was Roderick Strong challenging the Velveteen Dream for the North American Championship.
This was so good. This was so ridiculously good. I will take another one of these, please. Like, Roderick and Dream tore the house down. You had Undisputed Era all show up at one point to try and help Roderick get the win. And ultimately he did, as Roderick takes down the Velveteen Dream to become your new North American champion. And the prophecy has been fulfilled. Undisputed Era is now draped in gold.
If y'all pay attention, look at Cole's hands. I think he has an injured right hand because he has both fists taped, which he normally doesn't have. I think he was compensating for the one, not to show anything, but you could see white tape on one side, on the right hand, not on the left. There you go.
There you go. And this was the end of the first hour right here. So from here, we switched over to the network, and we opened up on the network with Pete Dunne taking on Arturo Ruiz.
This was more competitive than I thought it was going to be. I thought Pete would have gone in there and squashed him a little bit, but I enjoyed this. Pete looked good. He got it. Arturo got some spots in, but Pete ultimately got the win with the finger-breaking submission.
I honestly wouldn't mind seeing these two have a full-out brawl as opposed to a wrestling match, but this was pretty entertaining.
Dakota Kai is coming back next week.
That should make Brent happy.
Mm-hmm. Xia Li defeated Aaliyah. Quick little match.
Yeah, it was fine.
And then in what was surprisingly really good, Oney Lorcan and Lio Rush.
Lio Rush is back. He's in NXT, and yeah, that was actually really entertaining. This was your number one contenders match for the Cruiserweight Championship. We saw a really competitive back and forth between the two, and ultimately, your number one contender for Drew Gulak's Cruiserweight Championship is none other than Lio Rush.
If they keep him away from the mic and just let him work, he's good. Put him on the mic, he's a good talker, but he's very annoying, and I lose interest.
Now, we missed something.
I was going to go right back to it, yeah.
So, Denzel Dejournet took on Kushida.
Was supposed to take on Kushida.
Was supposed to. He's a part of Imperium?
No. Denzel's not a part of Imperium. He was...
Or, I'm sorry, Imperium showed up.
Imperium showed up. Wolf Barthel and Fabian Eichner showed up, and they just beat down the dude. And then we all brought out Walter as the fans were chanting, "We want Walter, we want Walter." He came to the ring. He's here to restore the honor and tradition to this sport.
Very serious. And Kushida was having none of that. He came out. He gave them a good talking to.
This is my time.
This is my time. And we had a little brawl, but ultimately... Kushida retreats from the ring as Walter and Imperium stare him down, and the fans chant for Kushida as he backs up the ramp.
Yeah,
for now.
For now. We're going to see developmental wrestlers Walter and Kushida battle at some point on a developmental stage on the USA Network.
I'm okay with this. I'm fine with this.
Yep. These two developmental talents are not...
Shots were fired today. That's all we're going to say.
That is the main event.
The main event of your show is Matt Riddle, bro. It was so lit, bro.
Bro.
Taking on Killian Dane in a street fight. This went everywhere. These two just beat the crap out of each other. At one point, it went backstage. The entire men's locker room got involved in this. Everybody was kung fu fighting. It was just a little crazy.
You had the Forgotten Sons back there, and then they ran into Walter, and then Walter and Riddle got into it, and then... The Street Profits made the save, and everything just had Pete Dunne got involved somehow, and they all started brawling back into the arena, and then we just sort of, everyone was brawling, and then we had some big dives, everyone was laid out. Killian Dane.
We should note that Killian Dane was the one that did the dive.
Yeah. Killian Dane did the big dive at the end to lay everyone out. This was a interesting way to close out the show, but a fun way. People are like, oh, they ended early. It's like, yeah, let them end early. Who really cares?
Whoa.
Hey, sounds. Anyway,
Instagram sounds.
So anyway, it was noted afterwards that next week it will be Matt Riddle and Killian Dane one more time. This time, the winner will be the next challenger for Adam Cole's NXT Championship.
I'm okay with this. I'm fine with this. Let's do it. Right now. I think we have to wait for it, but let's do this. I'm okay with it.
It was also announced that in 2 weeks, it will be... Candace and Shayna on the October 2nd show.
Which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Just a couple other things to note. You know it's a big deal when Hunter appeared on TV at the top of the show to start it.
Yeah, he did.
Because, you know, this is his baby. This is his brainchild. He's going to be in front of it to introduce the world to it. And then after the show, Hunter came out. He thanked everybody. He did crowd diving. And then he fired a shot back to AEW, who, by the way, snuck a commercial into the first hour of NXT, I believe into the first commercial break.
Uh-huh.
They got advertising in on the show, and then Hunter came out after the show had gone off the air and basically said, "You want a war, Brant?"
Basically, and he took his shots, and it's like, here, if you want a war, I'm ready to go full on. And he got in the crowd. He's chanting NXT with the entire crowd. It was awesome.
He was having a good time.
I enjoyed NXT. This was fun 2 hours. And if this is the way it's going to be, there'll be more promos and stuff mixed in the weeks going forward. But it was NXT hyped up, you know, which is really good.
I like it better with the 2 hours. It doesn't feel as rushed because sometimes it did feel a little rushed. Like the 1 hour was easy to consume and it was nice, but it's like with 2 hours, you can give everybody a little bit more time. You get more people on the show. I like this. I like the 2 hour format. I think it feels really natural for this. And I'm glad that they have a second hour. So let's see what they do with it. But I have a funny feeling this is going to go really, really well, at least at the start for them. We'll see what happens, but I think they got something here.
I think so, too.
But I think we have to go.
We're done. That's our show. Saturday night. Midnight. This is another edition of Stevie Radio. The weird, the wacky, the unusual. StevieRadioLive.com. Greater than great debate.com. The second season begins. So there you go. Sunday, if there's stuff for them to talk about and want to talk about, they'll be live 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday, we'll be live for the Raw Post Show 11 p.m. Eastern. Right back here next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of The Rack with the SmackDown Throwdown for the final time and the NXT Rundown and all the news you can handle on The Rack. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Follow, subscribe, twitch.tv/WTR Live. If you have Amazon Prime account, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free in September till September 24th, which means all new Tier 1 subscriptions are $2.50. Yeah, and use career code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop because Batman's coming.
Batman. Anyway, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWordAllenSWRD, and most of the social medias, just look that up. You can find me. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, MBGFilmsYouTube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Everybody sit tight, because I think we're doing Fortnite with friends tonight. I'm not 100% sure. We're going to try to round up to at least an Omega and see what we can make happen. But till then, or till next week, depending on how this goes, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.